This morning we're going to wrap up our series on This Is Us, and I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed being able to work through this series with you. The reason we did this series and the reason we do a series like this often is that I believe it's so important for us to know what the church is about, what the church on the big mission is about, and what this church specifically is about. Because we have folks who move into this town or they start coming to this church from a different church for various reasons. And so I think it's important. I really believe it's important that we're on the same page and we know what this church is about. So if you're just joining us, I said this about 4 weeks ago, that I believe everyone God has called, He has also called to the church. God doesn't call us to be a Christian island. You're not by yourself. He's not created it that way. He even looked upon man and said, it's not good for him to be alone. So he looked upon the Christian and said, it's not good for them to be alone. Let's make the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And so the church was started and it has a purpose. And every church, individual church, has a little different take that they go on. They have a different route that they go. Almost all of us, our primary goal, our focus, is to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. That's the big deal, okay? Now, you might like a church because of this reason or that reason, this music or that music, or this light or that light, or these people or that people, or these gifts or that gift, or whatever it is. But the primary thing that the church is about is making sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. That the Word of God is clearly taught. And so that's our purpose. Now, around here, we have a way in which we try and do that. I'm not saying it's the perfect way, the best way, but it's the way we do it. And so what we say around here is we want people to connect. We want them to connect with God and with other people through this marvelous thing called worship, this mysterious thing in which we as failed human beings are invited to worship a holy creator. We want to see people grow in their relationship with Christ, knowing that the primary way that we grow is based on how we approach that individually. How you study the Bible, how much time you spend in prayer with God. But we want to encourage people to grow. We want to encourage people to serve. I believe we serve God by serving others, doing what it is God's called us to do. The Holy Spirit will direct you in that. And then today we're going to talk about share. I believe share is vitally important to the health and the growth of the individual Christian and of the Christian community at large called the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I believe what Jesus is saying is if we want to be his disciple, then he must be the example we follow. Does that make sense? If we want to be his disciple, then he has to be the example we follow. The Apostle Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God, listen, were making his appeal through us. Have you ever thought of your life as being that important? That the God of all creation is making his appeal to humanity through you. That's how important you are in God's eyes. That's the way God has chosen to carry out this mission. You have a huge role in the kingdom. So, since Christ is our example and we are his ambassadors, I want to look at the life of Jesus and see how Jesus teaches us to live a life of share. What we talk about, now when we say share around here, what we're talking about is honoring Jesus by living our faith story verbally and non-verbally, and by building relationships focused on sharing the love of Christ. And no one did this better than Jesus. No one did anything better than Jesus, but he did this the best. And there are several things I believe we can learn from the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we can use these in our lives as we too share the gospel with others. When it comes to sharing our faith, I know that it's easy for us to become tight-lipped, to withdraw, It's scary for a lot of people to think about sharing their faith, because a lot of times what happens is we start to worry about what somebody might think of us. Will they think I'm judging their lifestyle choice? Will they make fun of me? All these questions can go buzzing around our head as we approach the subject of sharing the gospel. So we need to help, I believe, to know how to go about this. And no one, like I said, did this any better than Jesus Christ. So let's see what we learn from Jesus as we share. First, I believe this. Jesus invited people to a relationship, not a religion. Can you get on board with that? I need some interaction. Amen. It's 8 o'clock, all right? Can we get on board with that? Amen. Okay, I just want to make sure that we're on board with that. All right, Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Jesus, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me. That's what he told them. Jesus said, come, follow me. Do you hear what he's inviting them to? Come and be in a relationship with me. Walk with me. Sit down and talk with me. Learn from me. Be in a relationship with me. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, have a relationship with me, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you go share the gospel. I'm going to have you go be fishers of men. But it's born out of a relationship with me. Not a religion, but a relationship. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And I'm sure he said the same thing. Come, follow me. You hear it again. Come, be in a relationship with me. Walk with me, talk with me, learn from me. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, don't misunderstand me. Here we do need to invite people to come and be a part of our church. I mean, the church is the bride of Christ. But too many times, we can simply be guilty of inviting people to church and never invite them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a real rub that goes on there. We're not inviting people to a religion, because a lot of times when you think of church, or when people who are outside of a relationship with Christ, when they think of church, a lot of times they think of religion. Well, what do I have to do? How do I have to dress? What do I have to say? Will they allow me to come? Well, can I be a part of this? What hoops do I have to jump through? Listen, I'm sorry, churches have put too many barriers up for people. And maybe this church has at times. I don't know. I don't think so. But churches in general have. Jesus looked at these two sets of brothers and he said, come on. Come on with me. I'm not going to make you go through any kind of training program right now. Just come and follow me. Come on and be in a relationship with me. And then I'll make you a disciple. He wanted them so he could invest in them. But a lot of times, I know we can hide behind inviting people into a relationship with Jesus, because that can be scary. It can be easy to invite people to come to our church. But I want to encourage you. Invite them into that relationship with Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, my good buddy Bruce came, and he was talking to me about a very dear friend of his in his life who was dying. And he told me this, and I said, hey, can I share this? He said he'd invited her to church over and over again, and then it hit him. The Holy Spirit just started, and you'll hear this in his testimony this morning, but over and over again, the Holy Spirit was just hitting him that he needed to invite her into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So he helped me come up with this first point this morning, just in our conversation as we were talking, because I can be guilty of that. I'm at the Y, and I'll invite guys to come to church, but do I ever stop and invite them into a relationship with Jesus? And so as the Holy Spirit was nudging Bruce, he knew he needed to invite this lady into a relationship with Christ. And so he was telling me all this, and I thought, man, how many of us do the very same thing? We'll invite people to church. We invite them into a religion, but do we invite them into a relationship? So I asked Bruce if he'd share his testimony with us this morning. And so he agreed. So I want to invite you to give your attention to this video as he shares.
I've had a friend for well over about 26 years now. Jeannie and I actually worked together and just remained friends over all these years. A few months ago, Jeannie became very ill, and they actually moved her out of Macomb to a hospital out of town. And just in the last few weeks, they moved Jeannie back to Macomb, to McDonough District Hospital. So knowing she was in town, of course, I wanted to go and visit her in the ICU. And the Holy Spirit was also telling me that I needed to talk to Jeannie about her relationship with God and Jesus. So I went up, and she was weak, and she wasn't feeling well. And so it was a short visit. And I left, and I really didn't talk to her about God or her relationship with Christ. And we talk about the Holy Spirit working on us. Well, that day I was miserable. I had a knot in my stomach. I couldn't eat. I didn't sleep well that night, knowing that there was a chance that the Jeannie wasn't going to make it, and she was going to step into eternity without knowing God. So I went back to the hospital. As I was walking through the door, there was an individual who's a friend of Jeannie and a friend of mine, and she said, "Jeannie's asking why you haven't come back up." So I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, I get it. And as I was walking further down the hallway, I ran into another person who I knew, and this person asked what I was doing at the hospital, and I said I was going to go visit Jeannie, and she says, "I hope somebody tells Jeannie about Jesus." Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm getting the hint. And as I went up to ICU and I was gowning up and putting gloves on, there was an employee who came over to me and said, "I sure hope we can find a minister to talk to Jeannie about Jesus." And again, I said, "All right, Holy Spirit, I get it." So I walked in, and after a short conversation, I asked Jeannie how her relationship was with God. And she said, "Well, I don't know. I think it's okay." And I said, "Jeannie, that's not good enough." So we talked for a while, and I prayed with Jeannie, and I left. That's what we're called to do. We're called to plant and water seeds, and it's up to God to let those grow. And I didn't know until a few days later, but while I was in that hospital room, there was an individual in the basement of the hospital who was praying specifically for Jeannie to accept Christ. A couple of days later, I got a phone call, and I assumed as I picked up the phone that they were calling to let me know that Jeannie had passed away. But they actually called to tell me that she had requested to be moved to her home here in Macomb to die. And she also wanted to be baptized. So on a Sunday afternoon, a group of us came together, and we listened as Jeannie said that she wanted to make Jesus the Savior of her life. Jeannie has passed, and the reason that I wanted to tell this story is first of all, just the way that the Holy Spirit works. We are told to go and to make disciples, to plant, to water seeds. The second reason is I'm embarrassed that I knew Jeannie for 26 years, and I had never talked to her about Jesus. I had invited her to church. I had talked about things going on here at MACC, but we had never had a true conversation about her relationship with Jesus. So I hope, because of the Holy Spirit and her change of heart, accepting Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, that she steps into eternity, into the arms of Christ. So I hope that all of us, as we think of people in our lives, friends, family members, co-workers, neighbors, that don't know Jesus, that we not be ashamed, but we be bold and confident in sharing the gospel with those individuals in our life.
Amen. We do need to be bold. We need to be confident. And we've always been promised Jesus told us, you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that power gives us the boldness and the confidence to share the gospel. Bruce, thanks for sharing your testimony. These disciples that Jesus had called, these men had been steeped in religion from the time of their birth. See, Jesus was inviting them to something much deeper, much more meaningful. He was inviting them unto himself. Let's take a lesson from Jesus. Don't just invite people to church. Church can't save them. Programs, ministries can't save anyone. I want to encourage you to invite them to Jesus and encourage them to start coming to church so that they can connect with God and with others in the church, so they can grow in God with others at the church, so they can serve God and others at the church, so they can share the message of the gospel and invite others to Jesus and the church. You see, Jesus invites us to a relationship, not a religion. He's concerned about you as an individual. Well, there's something else Jesus teaches us as we share, and that's this. Every time Jesus shared, it was a unique encounter. Jesus offered an unchanging message, but his method changed. He delivered it uniquely to each person and each situation. How many of you have heard, the message stays the same, but the method always changes? We've heard that, right? Maybe. Okay, I've heard it, and some of you have. But that's what happens. The message is always the same, but the method in which we share changes. For Jesus, there was no one-size-fits-all, cookie-cutter approach to reaching and sharing the gospel with people. I went around and I asked our staff, I said, hey, would you guys just share with me what your favorite story was of Jesus sharing the gospel or calling people to the kingdom with someone, and why he did that, why that's your favorite story. And I got to tell you, it was really cool to hear the different responses. And it also, I believe, validates this point. First, I want to share it with Cindy and Alex. Both of them said the same one. They both went to John 4 talking about the woman at the well. But why it was cool to them is a little bit different. Cindy said when she reads this story, she's just reminded, this is a woman who was living a sinful lifestyle. And Jesus went out of his way to meet with her. And he took an everyday conversation about water and invited her into a relationship with himself. Now, this is a woman drawing water at noon, right? The text tells us that. That's at a time when no one else would have been at the well. Why? Because she was embarrassed about her lifestyle. She didn't want to be around people. The key here is that drawing water for women at this time in history was a social event. They drew in the morning when it was cool, but not her. She was an outcast. Doesn't matter how far. Cindy said, it doesn't matter how far we are from God, he still seeks us. I want you to know that today. Alex, his take on it is this. He's like, of all the people Jesus could have revealed himself to, it was this woman in John 4. She would have been the last person most of us would think deserved a private conversation with Jesus. Listen, folks, I believe God is going to bring people into your life who are thirsty, and you have an opportunity to lead them to water that will quench their eternal thirst. Or God will bring people who you would have never thought of, and he gives you the opportunity to share the amazing acceptance of Jesus. So many people pray for opportunities to share. Most of us have countless opportunities around us. We just need to take advantage of them. I want to share with you mine. Mine is the woman caught in adultery, the way Jesus handled that situation. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. And these teachers of the law, they brought her to Jesus. And I don't want you to storybook this for a moment, okay? This woman was drugged through town, probably half naked, maybe completely naked. And the man she was with wasn't even rebuked, as far as we know. He was let go. Because you know what adultery is, right? Takes two. But only she was brought. And in the midst of the hostility directed toward her, Jesus defends her. Boy, how many times do we as Christians get on the bandwagon with the other Christians and we start to attack individuals? We do. But Jesus defends her. He does not defend her actions. That's the difference. But he does defend her. How many of you are ready to defend people whose actions you detest? These guys here, they're ready to stone her. And under the law, rightfully so. But Jesus defends her. Jesus bent down, started to write on the ground with his finger. Verse 7 says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. So, in essence, what Jesus is saying is, hey, if you don't have any sin, be my guest. Some of us have acted like these teachers of the law, these Pharisees. Maybe we've been judgmental over people's sin when we need to be like Jesus. Maybe we need to defend people. I've been praying for years and years that we would be a messy church. Not messy that we're not unified, not in one accord. No, not that kind of messy. But a messy church filled with people like this woman. And then have the compassion to minister to her, to defend her. Jesus turns to her and he says, listen, I don't condemn you. Leave your life of sin. Check out John 8. Read that story this week. See, here's the cool thing. Jesus, we don't know what this woman did with that. We don't. We don't know what she did with that, do we? No, we don't. But the cool thing is this. Jesus, the Son of God, planted a seed. That's what he did in her life. He planted a seed. Maybe someone else watered that seed. Could you imagine being the person to water a seed that Jesus had planted? God makes it grow. We don't know, but I doubt that there was a harvest in that moment. Sometimes we're going to encounter people who've been so mistreated by the religious uptight, and they need to be defended. They do. Not their actions, but they need to feel the love of God. And we need to plant that seed. Talk to Steve. He shared with me his story. His, he said, is the story of the prodigal son. And I believe with him that this illustration that Jesus uses is a great example of Jesus sharing the gospel. This young man in the story of the prodigal son turns his back on his father and lives the lifestyle he wants without regard to how it hurts those who love him so much. But the father is patient, and the father waits and waits with great anticipation for his son to return. Listen to how Luke wrote this as Jesus said it. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. That's an act of indignity in that culture. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Remember, this son was in a pigsty eating slop with hogs. How many of us would throw our arms around somebody who smelled like pig manure? Whose breath reeked from eating slop? But that's exactly what Jesus does. He throws his arms around his son. And the son looks at him and says, oh, and he kissed him. He kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The father in this story, he represents God. And can you imagine being raised in a culture, being raised in a religion that taught that God was just about rule keeping? Some of you can. Maybe that's the way you were raised. And then Jesus shares this story that magnifies the grace of God for all who come to Him. We're all like the prodigal. And sometimes we're going to encounter people who are right where the prodigal was. And they'll need to understand and experience the grace of God. And God may be using you as a conduit of that grace. See, it's unique with each individual. Jason said his favorite was Zacchaeus. While Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Some of you are going to encounter people who are really seeking Jesus. They want to know about this Jesus. They don't want to know about your church. They want to know about this Jesus. They want to know about this relationship. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus and to see what he was all about. And as Jesus entered the town, he stopped and he told Zacchaeus, "Come on to me." And Zacchaeus came to him. And then Jesus did something that got the whole town stirred up and started talking. You know what he did? Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and he said this in Luke 19. He said, "I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. You know what they started saying? "Oh, he's going to be the guest of a sinner. Shame." Jesus pulled Zacchaeus from a crowd and he went to a forbidden house and he ate a meal with a forbidden man, a man who was not even allowed to go and worship in the church, in the synagogue because of his job. And you know what? Jesus didn't worry at all about what all the uptight religious elite thought. He could care less. Listen. Sometimes crowds may whisper and crowds may criticize those who we share the gospel with, but we must share it and genuinely make them feel welcomed and loved going where they are. Listen, this is why I'm not the biggest fan of canned presentations of the gospel. I'm just not. Instead, we need to understand where someone is in life and share the unchanging gospel message in many different ways, not just in one way. Jesus wasn't about cookie cutter stuff. Sometimes maybe we need to focus on different elements at different times, and maybe all we ever need to do is plant a seed in someone's life and someone else waters that seed. But if we don't plant seed and water it, if we don't plant that seed, then there's nothing there to be watered. We plant the same seed every time, but the soil's always different, which means the manner in which we plant must be soil specific. That means every encounter you have with someone is unique. So Jesus teaches us that we need to make sure we're inviting people to a relationship, not a religion, that each time we share, each encounter is unique. And finally this, Jesus teaches us that we must proclaim the gospel. You have to speak the gospel. The gospel message has to be shared audibly. Many centuries ago, 12th, 13th century, St. Francis of Assisi is attributed as to saying, "Preach all the time, when necessary, use words." Now, it sounds all fine and dandy, but what's happened is many Christians have jumped on that quote with both feet and completely misinterpreted what it means. They have taken it to mean that, oh, all I have to do is live a lifestyle that will attract people to Jesus, and I won't have to engage in a conversation with others. So others, by my lifestyle, will come to know Jesus as Savior through the way I live my life. But listen, St. Francis also said, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. Preach the gospel. Preach means to proclaim. And the word proclaim in the Greek is the Greek word laleo, and it means to speak. It's really clear. You have to speak the gospel. It means to say words to someone else. I like the way Mark Driscoll talks about this in his book, A Call to Resurgence. He drives this point home when he says, in many church congregations, the church favors showing the gospel and abandons speaking the gospel altogether. And he says, there's a problem, and I agree with him. Listen, here's the problem. The problem is the gospel cannot be shown. I agree with that. Some of you may not. But the gospel can't be shown. The gospel has to be spoken. Love, grace, mercy, justice, and the like can all be shown with works. But the gospel of Jesus Christ must be spoken with words, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about our deeds, but rather it's about Jesus' deeds, and you're not Jesus. And neither am I. We need to speak to people and tell people about Jesus' sinless life. We need to tell them about his substitutionary death. We need to tell them about his burial. We just spent 3 weeks talking about the death, burial, and the bodily resurrection for the salvation of sinners. That's not something you show. That's something you share. You and I have to engage in conversation with people about the gospel. All of us, no matter where you are in life. Then Driscoll goes on to talk about what happens without the gospel being so spoken. He says, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, you may still have morality. I don't believe Christians have cornered the market on morality. There's a lot of people that never accept Jesus Christ as their Savior who are still very moral people. Some more moral than some Christians I know, or those who claim to be Christians. You can still have spirituality. There's all kinds of spirituality out there. Some of it not very Yahweh-like. You can still have charity. Some of the greatest benefactors have never darken the door of a church, and they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. But what you don't have is Christianity. The real Christianity results in these things, but cannot be replaced by them, he says. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about what Jesus has done, and it must be spoken. Share with people what exactly it is Jesus has done in your life. People cannot refute your personal testimony. They can't. He takes us from sin to salvation, from darkness to light, from despair to joy. And that has to be explained. We are commissioned, according to Matthew 28, to share the gospel with others as individuals. Then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always till the very end of the age. We have an obligation to Jesus to share what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for others. I am thankful for people like Bruce who audibly share the gospel with people like Jeannie. Because Jeannie was actually expected to die back in the fall. But it wasn't her time. And the Holy Spirit of God prompted Bruce to share with her, not about this church, but about his Savior. Imagine if he hadn't been faithful. Imagine if all those others who watered seed, planted, hadn't been faithful and shared the message of the gospel. Think back this week about who planted the seed of the gospel in your life, who watered the seed of the gospel in your life. If Bruce hadn't done that, Jeannie may have entered into a Christless eternity. Look around at all the people you encounter every day. Where's their eternal destiny? And how can God use you to ensure that they don't enter into a Christless eternity? Imagine all the people God brings in your path. Man, start looking at those as opportunities to share the gospel. Stop praying for God to bring opportunities to you. He is bringing opportunities to you. We just have to start sharing where we are. We have thousands and thousands of people in this community, who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus has given you countless opportunities to share. So, let's open our mouths and let's share. Jesus teaches us to invite people into a relationship, not just a religion. That every encounter is unique. And he says we have to open our mouths and proclaim the gospel. As you build relationships with people, build them with eternity in mind, and it will cause you to want to share the gospel. So let's honor Jesus by living our faith story and sharing verbally and non-verbally, and by building relationships focused on sharing the love of Christ. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you for the example that Jesus is in so many different ways. We thank you that he called people into a relationship. We thank you that he defended those who were called out. We thank you that he sought out the outcast. We thank you that he welcomes us all. And Father, help us to remember that as we go about our lives. Help us to be people who share the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.